Hello. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Let's fly that together again. It's an African thing. I like to take it everywhere I go. So it becomes my identity as well. See me, I always say that. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
God is good. Apologies for the text. For being chapter 6, honestly, I personally did not know there's something to talk about in chapter 5. but what does it say? If you have a Bible near you, and if you don't, it's fine. If you have an electric one in your phone, you can use it. Genesis chapter 5. From Adam to Noah. This is a written account of Adam's family line. When God created man, He made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, blessed them, and He named them mankind when they were created. When Adam lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness and in his own image. He named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Together, Adam lived a total of 930 years, then he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enos. And after he became the father of Enos, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Together, Seth lived a total of 912 years, and then he died. When Enos had lived 90 years, he became the father of Canaan. And after he became the father of Canaan, Enos lived 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enos lived a total of 905 years. Then he died. When Canaan had lived 70 years, he became the father of Mahalalel. After he had become the father of Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Together, Canaan lived to a total of 910 years. Then he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he became the father of Jared. And Mahalalel lived 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Together, Mahalalel lived a total of 95 years, and then he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years. He died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Okay, thank you so much. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch lived faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. All together, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech, and Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived a total of 969 years, and then he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son and named him Noah, and he said he will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands, caused by the ground the Lord has crushed. And after Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech lived a total of 777 years, and then he died. After Noah was 500 years, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's the reading. And yes, to be honest, I had no idea what to say. All I can read is, and he died, and he died, and he died. So I wasn't very sure I should come to this church and say, we're all going to die. But it's a reality anyway. It's true. We don't live forever. But let's see what we can learn from this. And something came up as I kept thinking about it. And when Simon gave me the text and he said, you can do chapter 6 as well, I said, okay, we'll try. I went straight into chapter 6. I didn't even bother. I just saw these names and I thought, nope, we're not going there. But as I kept reading it, something came in my mind. And I thought we would see together. My name is Oteke George William, and I start with the surname because that's how we formally introduce ourselves in Uganda. We start with the surname, and then the first name and the middle name. So normally, I would fill in my application and someone would refer by TK. Is it George Oteke or Oteke George or William? Which one comes first? You're confusing me. The name Oteke means protector. And George means cultivator, which means, and William means protector. There's so much to a name, isn't it? We've seen all these names we've been reading and reading through. There's so much to a name, besides just it being a reference of your identity. You know, when someone calls your name, it's capable of doing so much. Imagine if you're angry with your wife and not yet married, maybe soon, maybe. But that moment when you're really angry and someone calls you name, there's a way it settles you even before you keep talking too many words. Hilton. It's a way it just... Or imagine having a conversation with someone. Max. No, my name is TK. Yes, Max. You're ruining the conversation. I am TK. Yeah, TK Maxx. No, I'm not TK Maxx. I am not TK Maxx. Is he famous? Does he know Jesus? No, it's a short call. Okay. But there's so much to a name. It's a universal truth. We love to hear our names said out when we have conversation. So much more to the name. It's your identity. It is who you are. But also, it's something that is unique about you. But also, it is something that... Because in a name, I can call you out in a crowd, and if you are the only person who is that name, say, not share with anyone, you'll be the only person turning. Imagine someone saying TK, and everyone turns around. What's wrong with people? But that's the thing. Your name has an identity to it. So I thought, well, with names, there's a scientist who says, who I was reading, and I was thinking, what is onto a name? A name is also capable of bringing out personality by the meaning of what it is. And I have found parents who have named their kids Providence, Joy. In Uganda, we have names Patience. But I have found that these parents named their kids those names because of how they felt when they gave those names. But also we have found parents who have named their kids Bizibu. They had a child in times when they were going through pain and suffering. And so it's a reminder that the joy has come to them, but it's a constant reminder that they have a child with them. So it has a way of affecting the way we name our children, the way we give them identity. But also in a name itself, the name is capable of giving you either positive self-image or negative. For example, when I was in school, I shared the name Oteke because everyone would generally call you by surname. We don't go around calling people George, William, Mike. We call ourselves surnames. And there was another boy whose name was Oteke, which is Oteke. And to be honest, I did not like to be called that name because this kid was just weird. Like, weird. I've been in the UK and there's some... people, you can say, oh, that kid is weird. But this kid, even for Africans, us Ugandans, we knew he was weird. And the funny bit about it, he himself did not know that. And I tried as much as possible to detach myself from his identity as much as possible. Because every time they would call a name, it looked like they were calling me as well in the same guy. So I just tried, what do I do with this? So I adopted TK, and it stuck for years up to date. But it had nothing to do with who or what, or the meaning of who he was. It was something to do with personality, of how we live in society, but also sharing a name where people have to mix up identity. And they say, oh, did you see OTK in the cafeteria arguing with the chef? Like, that wasn't me, I wasn't there. So just to make sure we don't have the same identity, I chose to have a different name. And it stuck over the years. So in a way, a name is potentially able to influence how you feel about yourself. So what is in a name? What is in a name? A name is also capable of finding you a job in Africa, really. I have found that you go to school, you study, you finish, you get a PhD, you get another degree and another degree, and you never get hired. But you turn up to someone's office and say, I am son of Otehe. And you get hired even before, oh, how is your father? Or your grandfather was a great man. They will hire you quickly, even before looking at your resume. So there's so much to a name. Now, in the ancient times, names given to children had significant meanings. And in chapter 5 of Genesis, we see the same genealogy of names that have come from Adam to Noah. And as I kept reading this, I thought to myself, hang on, what can we pick from all of these names? And what do they mean? What do all these names mean if we are to put them together? My grandfather's name is Oguli George William. And which means, Oguli means nearby, or not very far away, or he's around. And in a way, my mom, when I was growing up, I got to meet my father, which is a long story that I wouldn't want to go into, but if you like, we can talk about it at some point. My mom, I met my father when I was 25, and later discovered my father was still alive. Because I thought the man I grew up with, who is my stepfather, died in the year 2000. Then 25 years later, I discover that my biological father is still alive. But the story to it is that my mom left my father's home and moved to the city to look for a job. Now, in the way that she lived, they gave me the same name. My name is Oguli George William, but it's not on registry. The reason why she changed it, she felt in her core that my grandfather should have been near her, should have been there for her, should have protected her, should have done something about it when our father sent us away with my mom. And so she decided to call me Protector and called me Oteke. So I just look at it and it has so much meaning. But let's see what these names that we've all read through from Adam downwards mean. So we've got Adam, we'll look at 10 names. Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, I don't know why I wrote that Canaan like that. Mahalal, Jared, Enos, Methusaleh, Lamech, and Noah. Let's see what do they mean. So, Adam means man, or the first man. And we see in Genesis chapter 2, verses 3, where an Adam saying, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Genesis chapter 5 verses 1. This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. He is man, human man. Seth means put or appointed. And we see in Genesis chapter 4 verses 25, Adam knew his wife again, and they bore a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed another seed inside of Abel, whom Canaan slew. Go on to see in Genesis chapter 5 verses 3 that Adam lived 130 years and he begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth, to appoint, to put. And Enos means mortal man. Now, so far we have seen people living for long and long and long. And textual reference going for Genesis chapter 4, verses 26, as, and as for Seth, to him as a son was born, and he named him Enos. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. But there's something about why they named him mortal man. So far we have seen the promises of God starting to happen. We've seen Adam living to 930 years and Seth living to 912. Now the number is going low. Now we, by the time Enos dies, he is 905. The number is starting to go down a little bit. They do change, but that's the time now we start seeing the numbers starting to change over the period. And then we've got Canaan, that's how it's written in this version, NIV, Canaan. Now, Canaan means a dwelling place. A dwelling place, and he lived to about when he was 90 years, he begot. That's when he was born. And the other name we have is, because I want to rush through all these names quickly so that we get to the meaning of what they are. And Mahalal means praise God or be praised. Or the Hebrew translation, which means praise. Or El, which means God. So Mahalal. So El, Mahalal, which is God. And we have Jared. Jared means to descend, to come down, to be. And when in Mahalal, Jared was born, Mahalal was about 65 years old at that point. And we have Enoch. Enoch means disciple or trainer or discipline or initiate or dedicate. And then we have Methuselah. I've struggled with that name, but I'm getting there. Methuselah, which means Methuselah is an important man who lived longer than anyone else. I think he is the oldest man to live in the Bible. Dude was so blessed with so much life. God sustained him for 969 years. That's nearly a millennium. He was so old. I don't know how people live that long. But it's amazing how God sustained him. And his name comes from the Hebrew word mirth and salek. And mirth, from the root word, it's a bit hard to pinpoint, but I was going through those textual references, and it happens to mean to die, or to kill, or dead, or it's pretty ironic for someone who lived the longest to be called to die, or dead, or to kill. And then Saleh, or Salek, which means to send away, or to be cast away, or forsaken, or to depart, or put away, forth in, out. And so the meaning is derived from Methuselah, the name, which means his death will send away or will be cast away. His death will be cast away. And we have Lamech. Lamech. Lamech, which is also, which I found a bit hard to pinpoint because there's not much to it. The Hebrew word for mech means low or depressed or grow poor or impoverished. And then, so what do these names tell us about these people? Let's recap. So we have Adam as man. We have Seth, appointed. Enos, a mortal man. Canaan, dwelling place. Mahalal, praise God. Jared, descended. Enoch, to discipline and train up. Methuselah, death will send away or cast away. Malek, depressed. Do you see a pattern there? Do you see it? man appointed mortal dwelling place, praise God, descended to disciple, trainer, death, send away, depressed. There's one more name, Noah. So Noah, Lamech named his son Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning his work and the toil of my hands, as we see in Genesis chapter 5, verses 29. The Bible tells us that Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord, as we see in Genesis chapter 6, that I did not get into after finding this. So therefore, Noah's name means comfort or rest. True comfort and real rest is only found when we receive God's grace. And in the same, Jesus is the one who gives us comfort. And he has sent us the Holy Spirit, who on his behalf is always with us. Right now, we've had all the names together. So let's try to string all those names together and add Noah. This is what it is. Man is appointed a mortal man in his dwelling place. Praise God, he's descended to disciple and trainer. He's death, sent away, cast away, depressed, and despairing. The one, Noah, Jesus, will comfort us and give us rest. Wow. In a bunch of names, lays the handprint of the message of Christ. Right there. It is hard to see all these names all jumbled up, but it's right there in the meanings of these names. And I just thought to myself, yes, there's the simple reality that it's true. We're never going to live forever. I have a story which is a bit funny, but it's a bit, sometimes I just keep thinking, oh, it's not a funny story, but then again, it's funny. It's about the death of my grandfather. And some years ago, when my grandfather was getting much older, he decided he wanted to sell the family land. And when he sold the land, he sold it to a man who decided to come and tell us about it. He came to us and said, Did you know that your grandfather is actually selling your property? We said, no, we didn't know that. Yeah, he is. So we went to Grandpa and said, Grandpa, why are you selling the land? And he said, well, I'm getting old and I don't care anymore. And to be honest, somehow we understand why he was a depressed man at that point. He had served for the prison's force for so many years, and he was expecting to get his retirement benefits and all those things. And I think he was there for nearly 40 years. So along the way, the government changed, and they just all got sent out, and he lost everything. So he's been battling through a lot. And at that point, he just thought, I'm going to sell the land. So when he sold it, we talked to the man who was buying the land, and the man said, you will have to compensate me. I was buying the land, but if you want to buy it back from me, because he's still demanding a bit of money from me, which I'm going to pay him, you just have to pay me. So we paid the man, and then there was some money he needed to pay my grandfather. And so we said, Grandad, this is wrong. And he said, I don't care. So we paid our grandfather for our land. We bought our land from our land. More expensive than we would have thought. And so it was a bit hard for the rest of the family. My grandma just did not want to see his face whatsoever. But my mom is so annoyingly kind, she still stuck with him and said, well, he's still my father. So guess what he did with the money? He drank himself to death. Literally. He drank every single day. And he slept wherever the Lord just led him to, or wherever the enemy or the devil put him. And from time to time, we would hear people saying from the horizon, oh, there's a man who's lying in the swamp. There's a man who's lying in the forest, sitting under a tree. I don't know if he's alive or he's dead. From that time, we would take him to the hospital. He was a wreck. And so one time, we had the news that your grandfather, at some point, when he went to the swamp, he spent, I think, a day and a half lying in the swamp. And his leg had to be amputated, unfortunately. So we took him to the hospital and got the procedure done. But he went back to the pub in his crutches. That's how stubborn he was. Now, the thing about it is that, and I don't rejoice in anything like that, but it's helped us as a family to make sure alcohol is not a thing in our family anymore. So anyway, this the story about his death. So he's lying in the swamp. So we hear this news that your grandfather is dead. So we go over, and he's gone. He's dead. But at that point, I was trying to get a visa to come to the UK for the first time. So I said, Mom, I'm not going to go to the burial because if I am far north, I have to travel nearly 400 kilometers back to the city for me to be able to get my interview done. So I won't come. I said, fine. You know your granddad. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's, who knows? So they went to the village for burial. So everyone gathered. There was a fire outside and men were talking about his legacy, besides, of course, the things that he had done, but also the good things. And as they kept talking, and there were women mourning in the house, and they left the casket open, and he was lying there, the coffin. And this is what happened. He got up and sat, and he said, food, in our language. Everybody legged it. They just ran through the window doors. Some people just wanted to run through a wall. People were just screaming at the top of their lungs. People ran for miles. Don't ask questions. The men who asked, I just followed. They didn't know what was going on. We just saw people running out of their house and running for miles. And some people said, we need to go back. I said, nope. We're never going to go back. So a few men went back. The brave few. And when they went back, he was still sitting in his coffin, saying nothing. He was just there. And he said he wanted food. So they got him food. He took two bites, and just like a man who is, you know, taking a rest, took his two bites, put the food down, and lay back. That was it. He was gone. He was dead again. They tried to shake this guy up. They poured water out, tickled his feet, did everything. He was gone. They called the doctors. They took him to the mortuary. They did everything to make sure he's actually really dead. They checked his heart, did all the procedures they needed to do, and the doctors confirmed he's actually really dead. Now, there is a way that story makes me view life in itself. First, I view it as something that we cannot hold on for long. But also, there's purpose to life. But also, there's legacy to what we leave behind us. Or name. Your name is capable of saying so much about you even when you leave. Your name is capable of leaving a history about who you are even when you're gone. It was a grandfather from my mother's side. They still call that place the home of the resurrected. But obviously we have a tombstone for him at home. But that's the thing. The name that you have is capable of staying longer even when you're gone. Many years have gone, but we still talk about Michael Jackson like he left yesterday. Many years have gone, but we talk about Mandela like he's still with us. When Winnie Mandela left, we still talk about her. People in Uganda still make references and quotations of all these amazing people that lived before us. Your name is capable of living after you. But what kind of name do you want to leave when you're gone? There's a verse there that says, and he walked with the Lord. And he walked with the Lord. How amazing it is that when you're gone, when you've left earth, for the rest of the world to remember that you are a man who walked with the Lord. You are a man who taught the word of God, who was in faith, but also left a legacy that is worth praising. My grandfather the one who is called not far away, Uzuguli, who was named after me, he was the governor many, many years ago in the 1970s in Uganda. And he left a legacy up to date. Everyone knows his home. As soon as you arrive there and you're lost and you say, I want to go to Uguli's family, they know where the house is. Because he left a trail of so much. He made wealth not just for himself, but for the whole village. He decided to devote the whole entire village where he stays, put up buildings, shops, employ people. But that's the thing about what we leave behind us. What kind of legacy do we leave in a name? And I'll leave that with you, because that's the genealogy. What fruits do you leave for your children? And when you're gone, what will your children tell their children about you? Will they remember that you slept in a swamp? Will they remember that you rose and died again? Not in 3 days. What legacy do you leave behind you? Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you because you know us. You've hemmed us before and after. You knew us before we conceived in mother's womb. And our identity every single day is an imprint of who you've called us to be. And so we ask you, Almighty God, who knows us much more than we know ourselves, that our hearts are open. And so we ask you that if we ever leave earth, we want to leave a legacy of who you are. We want to live a life that pleased you. We want to be living a life that is Christ-like. So help us that we can teach the people around us your ways and how you are. That, Lord, even when we are gone, you are at the center of so much. How soothing it is that people will still say that he walked with the Lord. So, Lord, help us to have a name that is left for us because of you. We pray all this in your name. Amen.